Welcome, beloved, to this program that is designed with you in mind to cause you to be established in the Word of God. I want to thank you to our service today and get ready to be blessed even as we were blessed. Your life will never be the same.
Now, today's episode.
We don't have to get tired. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep fighting until whatever God has said about our lives and ministry will come to pass. Okay. So, what are some of the things God has said about this church? And how are we going to achieve it? Now, one of the things God has actually said about our church is that our church is going to be one of the greatest branches in Perez Chapel. Are you with me? We are going to be one of the greatest branches in Perez Chapel. When you look at what we are going through now, it may easily cause you not to believe what God is saying. So, I'm saying that God has said a lot of things about our lives and our ministries. And we must not grow tired or grow weary in believing what God has said about our lives. One of the things that you must remember is that in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 8, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 18, it speaks about prophecies that has been made over our lives. So he says that anytime God gives you an assignment or God puts something, a word of prophecy over your life, one of the first things we need to do is to remember those prophecies, and in remembering them, it will help us fight for what God has given us. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18 says, "This charge I command thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." What is he saying? Change the version. It is saying that when you remember the prophecies that has been made about you, my son Timothy, those prophecies should help you fight a good warfare. The NIV version says, "Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you might fight the good fight." So it means that anytime we receive a word of prophecy, we are supposed to follow those prophecies. Some of us have had a lot of prophecy, but you don't follow them. You don't work with the prophecies you have received. You've just thrown them away. Some of you, so many nice things has been said about your life. How many of us have not received a prophecy before? How many of us have not had a dream before? So we've all had dreams. We've all seen visions of great things that God has said about our lives and ministry. But this is the problem. A lot of us don't follow those things. We don't regard the visions and the dreams God gives us. That is why our life is not seeing any progress. The reason why our life is where it is because we are not following the visions and the prophecies God is giving us. What is actually going to make you into what God has ordained for you to become is simply following the dreams and the visions God gives you. My life is where it is because of dreams and visions. Our father, the Archbishop's life is where it is because of the dreams and the visions he had. Years ago, he said he was praying in a meeting, a Maurice Cerullo meeting, and then he heard a voice. And the voice said to him that, "My boy Charles, I send you out as I send Moses. Go out there, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons." And that was it. He said after the meeting, he went elsewhere to go and pray to verify if that was really coming from God. And the Bible, and according to our father, he said, God spoke again and said to him that, "My boy Charles, I give you power over principalities and over all the powers of the earth. go out there, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. And Bishop said, I asked God to give me a scripture, if that is really him. He said, God gave him Luke chapter 8, verse number 1, and then Luke chapter 9, verse number 1. How did Bishop's life become what it is today? Through the visions, the prophecies, and the dreams he had. Why are we not following the dreams God has given us as a church? Why are we not following the prophecies? The Bible says, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, when you follow those prophecies, what is going to happen? You might fight the good fight. It means that all the nice things that has been said about you will not come to you on a silver platter. You have to fight for it. If God said you were going to be great, you have to fight for that greatness. It is a prophecy. And one of the ways you are going to make that greatness come to pass is to follow that prophecy. And then in following the prophecies, you need to fight all the obstacles that will come your way. This is how we are going to fulfill the prophecies God has made over our lives. Are you here with me? Hey, can I ask a question? So how do we fulfill the prophecies made over our lives? Franca, how do we fulfill the prophecies that God has spoken over our lives and ministry? How do we fulfill it? So you were not listening. Ike. You are also not listening. You are just here, but you are not here. Your mind is... When I was talking, your mind was not here. As it? How do we fulfill the prophecies? Use the mic. By what? By how do you follow the prophecies? Hey, Ovlo.
You need to fight the obstacles that is coming our way.
That's how to fulfill the prophecies. Okay, so it seems you didn't hear what I was saying. I said there are so many prophecies that has been made over our lives. So I'm saying that, listen, God has given each and every one of us a vision, a dream, and a prophecy to fulfill. Some of you might have seen yourself doing something great in your dreams. Some of you, God might have told you, I want you to do this and I want you to do this. Some of you, God might have told you, this is what you are going to become in the future. These are prophecies, these are dreams, these are visions. And I'm asking that, how can we fulfill those dreams? And 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 18 gives us one of the ways to fulfill those dreams, prophecies, and visions. And he says that anytime we remember the dreams, the visions, and the prophecies that has been once made about you or about us, we must follow them. We must what? Follow them. Most of you will grow, die, and go to heaven only to realize you didn't fulfill the reason or the purpose for which God brought you here. Don't get this wrong. You were not brought here to study, go to school, work, marry, have children, build a house, drive one car, and die. That's not why you are here. And these are the things most of us are following. Most of us are occupied by some of these things. So all the problems you have here, as you are looking at my face, when I ask you what is the problem you have, it's about these things. What to eat, what to wear, and all those kind of things. That's some of the problems you have. Is that not it? But that is not what our life is about. And the most useless person on this earth is somebody who is here without knowing the reason why God brought him or her here. None of us are here by accident. None of us are here by your father's mistake or your mother's mistake. Are you here with me? Each and every one of us was brought here for an assignment. And that assignment is what God reveals to us through dreams, through vision, and through prophecies. Sometimes a word of prophecy can be released upon your life. And I'm saying that if you are going to fulfill that dream, that vision that God has given you, you need to follow those dreams and those visions. You need to follow it though. Growing up, I wanted to be an accountant. That's what was on my mind. So I almost everything I did, even the school I attended, was all about training myself to become an accountant. But the question is, did God want me to be an accountant? That's the question. You see, so now it is my personal ambitions versus God's purpose for my life. God didn't want me to be an accountant by profession. He wanted me to be a pastor by vocation. That is going to be my field. He wanted me to be a pastor, not an accountant. One of the things I also wanted to do growing up was to join the army. I would have joined the army and just joined the officer's course. I've just had some officer's course and just become an officer. My main focus was to become a brigadier general. Yes, or a colonel. Yes, or a major general. That's my motive in life. That's why most often when I'm watching documentaries about the military and what have you, my wife will say, so isn't there any better thing we can watch apart from this one? That is where my heart is. I really wanted to join the army. I'm telling you, joining the army was part of my vision. I had three visions in life. I wanted to either be a medical doctor. Number two, I wanted to be an accountant. And number three, I wanted to join the army. Any of these three things would have gone for me. And I love all these three things. And I would have become any of them easily. Are you following me? But I realized that was not what God has said about my life and my destiny. I realized that all those plans and all those visions I had were my own visions. It wasn't what God has given me. Because when I started schooling, I started having the feeling that all these three things I wanted to become was not what God wants me to become. And that God wanted me to become his preacher. He wanted me to rather take up the work of a spiritual soldier, not the physical one. So he wanted to make me as a general in the spiritual realm, in the field of the pastoral ministry, rather than join the Ghana army. Are you following me? So I'm saying that now that we've discovered what God has given us, this is what God wants me to do. How do I bring to pass this thing? And that is what Timothy was advised by Paul. And we are learning a cue from what Paul told Timothy. Paul told him that anytime you receive a vision from God, a dream or a prophecy, one of the things you have to do is to do what? Follow them. What does that mean of follow? Let that thing guide what you do. The reason why all those who had perhaps they had a prophecy about them becoming pastors, like Isaiah, had a vision, had a dream of becoming a pastor. The reason why it doesn't look like it will come to pass is because he's not following that dream. He's not following that prophecy. Did I give you that dream? You had it and you told me. That's the mistake. You shouldn't have told me. But once you've told me that this is what God wanted you to do, I will always assess you by what you said God wanted you to do. And so now the question is, why is he becoming more into business rather than ministry? And the answer is because he's not following it. When God gives you a prophecy, prophecy simply means a word that has been spoken. When God speaks a word over your life, it is your responsibility to follow it. But he's not following it. As for him, he even knows it, but he's not doing it. That's okay. But for those of you who don't even know at all, you don't know why you are here, you don't know what God wants to do with you, it's a disaster. Are you following me? So don't follow money. Follow your dream. Follow your purpose in this life. And how do you know that? You don't choose one. Eh? Are you following me? You don't choose what you want to become. Like our dear sister Franca. She's trying to become a beautician and a hairdresser. I wonder if that is what God wants her to do. If that's what God wants you to do, you're okay. But if that's not what God wants you to do, that's where the problem begins. Because you will live here, continue to live here, and die here without people recognizing you. This is because it is what God has given you, that thing God has given you, that is what is going to make people know you. When I say people, I mean the world. There is this player called, is it Kylian Mbappe? Kylian Mbappe. Where is he from? Eh? No, where is his hometown? His hometown. His father's hometown. Eh? Cameroon? Are you sure? Don't mute it. Are you sure he's from Cameroon? Check it. Take your phone and Google it. He's from one of these African countries. Now, what am I saying? Let's assume he's from Cameroon. Or is somebody there? Which country? Just search which country is Mbappe from. Which African country? So now this footballer called Kylian Mbappe, who is from, I said Cameroon. Let's assume it's Cameroon. So let's assume this is from where? Cameroon. Okay. So now we know that it's true. Cameroon. He's from Cameroon, right? Okay. So this young gentleman who is from Cameroon, let's assume he stayed in Cameroon and he wanted to become a lawyer instead of a footballer. Do you think the world would have known him? Oh, I'm asking you a question. No. Nobody would have known him and recognized him for anything. The reason why he looks so unique and so different when he's on the pitch, and it looks like he knows what is doing, is simply because he was able to identify his dream and what perhaps God has called him to do. And so he gave it all his attention and all his time. Don't be surprised. Somebody was asking me today, why is it that Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, like, they understand football and they know how to play football, but our Ghanaian players, none of them has been able to rise to that level. So he was asking why, and I told him that, you know, when you dig deeper into their life, you realize that they all started playing academy when they were young. Is that not it? So let's assume, we don't know, but let's assume that if Messi, Kylian Mbappe and Cristiano Ronaldo were called to be footballers, you would see that at a very tender age, they started following what? Their dream. They knew what their life was about and they gave it all their best. You can google and maybe watch later about the life story of Lionel Messi and then Cristiano Ronaldo. Maybe you can watch it. I have the documentary. I've watched it. Right from Cristiano Ronaldo's infancy, he joined. He was playing even before Age 10 years he was playing an academy. 10 years he was playing. Mercy the same thing. So you can't compare somebody who has followed his prophecy or his dream right from infancy till today. You can't compare him to somebody who just play football as a hobby. You understand? And so it is very important you decide what you want to follow. Is it a dream God has given you that you want to follow? Or perhaps you have chosen a career you want to follow. All those who follow careers, all those who want to, I want to become this. I think nursing is paying, so I want to become a nurse. I think this is paying, so I want to do it. It's good. You can do all those things. But remember, when you do all these things, you will never get satisfaction. What gives you happiness will not be there. Because what you are doing is not actually what you were called to do. Number two, when you die and you live here, you are going to give account of what God placed into your hands. And this is the danger. You can have all the worldly glory here by doing what man wants you to do and not what God wants you to do. And when you die, pray you don't go to heaven. But when you go to heaven, God is going to question you about what he gave you. The gift God placed into you, he's going to ask you. Are you following me? That is why Paul said, when you remember the prophecies that has once been made about you, or the dreams you've once had, the visions, don't throw them away. You know, as he was asking me, is it the old one or the new one? What happened to the old one? And he has got an old dream, but what happened to the old dream? Are you following the old one? No. Are you with me? So it is very important to understand that. It is not enough to have a dream. It is not enough to have a vision. It is not enough to have a prophecy being made over your life. If you don't follow it, it will not come to pass. And you would think that maybe the pastor who prophesied over your life didn't see well. But that's not a problem. You didn't follow it. Are you following me? So whatever you believe God has said about your life and ministry, you must follow it. When you decide to follow it at the first stage or at the initial stage, you are going to appear to look like you're a fool. It will look like you're a fool. Because nobody will be willing to pay you for following your vision and your dream. You have to go through a lot. One of the first things you have to go through is hunger. Yes. Because if you had chosen the alternative, you would have gotten something, some money to buy food and what have you. But the moment you decide to follow your dream, are you with me? You wouldn't get the money or the resources to fund for what you are doing. That's one of the things you are going to, one of the obstacles you are going to face. That is why the Bible says that in following them, you may fight. So God says you are going to be a pastor. You come and you tell people God has called you, and nobody says, and what, nobody even believes in you. Some say God has called you, and so what? Are you following me? But all these things are obstacles, and you need to fight it. And don't forget, when you begin to fight the fight of fulfilling the prophecy that has been made over your life, the Bible said they are fighting a good fight. So it means that there are some of the fights that are useless fights. Is that not it? There are some of the things you are struggling to achieve that is actually useless. It's a foolish one. It's not a good one. So the fight to fulfill the dream and the vision God has given you is what the Bible calls a good fight. Are you fighting a good fight? Hello. And every one of us is fighting something. Some of us are fighting something. Every one of us, some of us are fighting to become rich, some of us are fighting to move higher at our workplace and what have you. But the question is it actually a good fight? Because the Bible has told us that the fight to become what God has said about your life, that is the good fight. And it's very sad. Somebody will say, oh, if God has said it, why doesn't it just come to pass? No, it will not just come to pass. You need to fight it. You need to fight for it. Are you following me? So that is one of the things I came to remind you this evening about. That have you even identified why God brought you here? So somebody will say, Pastor, how do I identify my gift? I don't know. How do I know that this is my gift? Listen, sit down, relax, and begin to examine and re-examine your life. Go back into your life and check your life and ask yourself, what is it? What is that one thing that when I see somebody do it, I have interest in it? Like, it's very nice. I feel like doing it. What is that one thing? Number two, what is that one thing that even when you are not paid, you are ready to do it? They tell you, this one, there is no salary. So, I'll do it. What is that one thing in your life? Hello? What is that one thing that no matter what you go through, no matter what people say about you, are still going to stay and do it? What is that one thing? That might be your gift. That might be the reason why God brought you here. And I'm saying that if we are going to fulfill the prophecies, we all need to follow them. We need to follow them. Follow it. Follow it. Follow it by, number one, knowing what God has said. Number two, follow it by pursuing it. God said you are going to be a musician. You don't listen to songs. You don't rehearse. You don't do anything. And how do you become that musician? Are you following me? And in following, you must know that you must be prepared to fight. Because things will try to change it. Oh, what God has said about my life. Everything in this church is fighting against that dream. Even including you. Oh, yes. Including you. You know, God said, I'm going to be a pastor. He gave you to me as my church member. I talk to you, I preach to you, and you don't even understand what I'm saying. And so it's just a clear indication that, Charlie, go and do something else. Is that not it? You are trying to teach them. They are looking at your face, but they don't even understand what you are saying. You understand? So I'm saying that it will actually take a fight for me to continue doing this thing, even when you don't understand what I'm saying. Hello. It will actually take a fight for me to remain in the work of ministry, even when people don't like what I'm doing. It will actually take a fight for me to come here, have service, even when people don't enjoy coming to church. And so don't think that whatever God has said about your life will just come to pass, because once God has said it, it will come to pass. Oh, nyamina, I can't tell you. No, don't deceive yourself. Begin to follow what God has told you. Begin to look for that one thing God has given you and follow it. If you want to be great, listen, if you want to be great, look for that thing and follow it. Follow it. Work after it. Work very, you know, today somebody was talking to me about Kudus Mohammed or somebody like that. This is a young guy. Why is he not thinking about doing business or doing something else? But all his life, his mind is on football. All the players we see, they didn't start playing football and in the next month they got a contract and they left. They've been doing it for some time. Is that not it? And so, you may not be good. People may not like you. You may not look attractive and appealing to other people at the initial stage. But don't stop it. Keep fighting, keep pushing, and keep living your dream. Whatever prophecy God has given you, keep fighting. One day, I'm telling you, one day people will like it. Human beings are like that. Don't judge what you have based on people's feelings. Because there are some of the people, it's not that the message I'm preaching is not a good message. They have their troubles on their mind as they are seated there. So it's not what you are saying that is even. But if you are not careful, you think that, oh, maybe the pastor's message is not a good message. And I've learned to preach when there are people and when there are no people. I've learned not to allow somebody's description of me get into me. Some say I talk too much. Some say I talk too little. Some say when I'm preaching, I give so many examples. Some say I always use my life as an example. Some also say we like it when you explain the Bible from yourself or using your life as an example. And if you are not careful, you ask yourself, what is this? Hello? So I'm saying that never judge what you have based on people's assessment. When somebody says, "Me, I don't like a pastor like you," know that they are not part of the people God has given you to follow you and to like what you are doing. Are you following me? So I'm saying that all these things are things that will try to stop you in your track, try to change your attention, divert what you are doing, and cause you to move into other things. But I'm saying that once God has said it, once it's a prophecy, once it's something God has said over your life, you must, number one, follow it, and number two, fight until it comes to pass. All the people who are saying they don't like me, trust me, give them some time, they'll begin to like me. I'm telling you. All the people who look down on you and say, "Oh, you are not a good wife, you are not a good husband," tomorrow, if only you can focus on what God has given you, follow it and pursue it, tomorrow they will regret never marrying you. Say, "I made a mistake. I should have married her. I've made a mistake. I should have married him. This lady should have been my wife. I've made a mistake." Are you hearing me? But I'm saying that it will not just happen. We have to fight for it. We have to fight for it. All those that you say God has called you to do the work of God, to do this. I remember years ago when I gave you a piece of paper to write what God has given you to do. I still have the recording. It's on my podcast. I remember everything each and every one of you said. I remember what Florence said. I remember what Ike said. Do you want to know what he said? You said God has called you to serve, the gift of service. You've forgotten. So what happened to your service? What happened to your service? If last year your service was 20%, this year it should have risen up to 25 or 30%. Is it reducing or is going up? That's the problem. And so let's not put aside what God has given us. Let's pursue it. I'm telling you, some of you, I will take you by surprise. By the time you realize, "Hey, tell me this guy, no, I'm so full." By that time, it will be too late for some of you to build a relationship with me. Yes, it will be too late for some of you. If you think this is how we are all going to remain, then you don't understand your life. Because this was not how you were when you were a child. Some of you were living with your parents. You never even thought there is coming a time you can be on your own. Some of you, after 6, you were not allowed to go out. You have to be in the room. You never thought that there was coming a time the prison gate will be open for you to go out. So know that life is not static. Life is progressive. Things change. And we always grow out of things. Are you with me? And so it is very important to follow what God has given you. Follow it. Follow it. Even when nobody believes in it, people may think, you know, don't allow people's assessment of your life to carry you down. People say, "Oh, this thing you are doing is not good, it's not nice, you are not good at it," and what have you. Don't allow it to weigh you down. Follow it. We hope you've been blessed by this message. For further information on Reverend Amos Darko's tapes and books, please send us a mail at rev.amosdarko@gmail.com or call +233 503 861 399. Thank you for your time and God bless you.